niggas linking up. Trail niggas linking up. Link up, my nigga, let's link up.
Episode of A Week in Wrestling. I am your host, as always, Mr. Ron the Don. And today, we got our co-host, Mr. Allen Xander, ladies and gentlemen. You know, it's been a jam-packed week. So let's not waste any time. We're going to start with SmackDown.
And before, hold on. Before we even start, got to give a big shout out to my boy Ron the Don. It's his birthday today, y'all. So I want y'all, you know, show him some love. You know what I mean? Show him some love.
Appreciate it. Appreciate that for sure. You know, I don't want nothing. You know, if anything, all I want is, you know, that like, share, comment, and subscribe and following us on all platforms, man. That's a blessing within itself. But hey, I appreciate that though for sure. SmackDown, we're just going to cover some highlights, you know, not going to get too deep into it. You know, this is the go-home show for Money in the Bank. We're going to jump right to the backstage. We saw Cody meeting up with Randy and Kevin Owens. And I don't know about you, Xander, but if you was paying close attention, yet again, another week, Randy Orton has his eyes on that championship. I don't know when, I don't know where, but all I know is you cannot trust the snake. And Randy Orton has proven that when it's time to strike, he gonna do it. So, Cody, if you watching this, watch your back, man. Go back and watch SmackDown. Watch all these things that's happening. It's lining up. And also, man, we had all three guys come down to the ring, basically hyping up their six-man tag for Money in the Bank. Shout out to Kevin Owens, man. Prayers up for his mom. Hopefully she pulls through. He had an emotional promo just how he's going to keep fighting for his mom, and because that's what she would want him to do. So shout out to her. And we'll get into that six-man tag match, you know, coming up here. Speaking of tag matches, we have new WWE Tag Team Champions. Yes, sir. DIY, Tommaso Ciampa, Johnny Gargano beat Austin Theory and Grayson Waller in the main event of SmackDown. They are
AKA
now
AKA Triple H and Shawn Michaels. D-Generation X. DX is the new tag team champs. If you know.
Well, shout out R-Truth. But what do you think about, you know, DIY winning the championships? What's next for Theory and Waller? What are your thoughts on all of that?
So as far as, like, the tag team championships go, I kind of saw this happening just because of, like, the fact, like, they changed, like, you know, the Judgment Day. They took the titles off. I mean, excuse me, not Judgment Day, but Austin Truth. Excuse me. They took the titles off of Austin Truth and gave them to the Judgment Day. But now they're kind of doing to where Theory, Grayson Waller dropped their titles, the DIY. It's just, like, I guess they're hitting, like, a reset button, trying to do, like a little refresh in the tag team division. And honestly, these tag team championships will actually do good for DIY because they was in a little standstill at one point. Like, it was kind of getting a little stale. People were starting to lose interest in them and stuff. Now, with them having the tag team championships, that just sparks a little bit of, you know, that just sparks some interest in people's eyes now.
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, I'm one of the ones that wanted, you know, DIY to win at Mania over, you know, R-Truth and The Miz. Even though I'm glad R-Truth got his moment, you know, I'm not against that, but, you know, I'm really hoping that they got the gold, you know, sooner, but now is the perfect time. Hopefully, as we go forward, they start building up that tag team division and, you know, get it back on track. And I'm also curious to see if tag title reign going to end like the title reign that they had in NXT, because that led to one of the greatest storylines in NXT history. So I'm very curious to see that.
One thing I will say though, with Austin Theory, everybody I can see is coming with him, Grayson Waller. Like, look, I'm pulling for it to happen. I know you pulling for it to happen. It's inevitable. He's gonna turn his back on Grayson Waller. Finally see the light. He's gonna, you know, be on SmackDown doing his thing. Possibly get a US title shot again. Who knows?
Hey, it's so crazy for me because it's like just thinking about this last year, people actually wanting you know, Austin Theory to turn face and cheer for him is crazy. I don't know if that's just, you know, for Austin Theory because, you know, they hate Grayson Waller that much, but I'm definitely looking forward to them having the feud of the end of the year. That's definitely going to be, you know, a good one. You talk about two people with egos. I would love for them to throw, you know, if LA Knight does win that U.S. championship, I would love, you know, for him to get in that mix. You know, those three guys, that would be an interesting program. But as you famously say, I'm not a booker, so I have no control over that. Before SmackDown went off air, we got a very ominous and serious message from the Bloodline. More specifically, Solo, he was sitting at the head of the table. He was crowned around his neck with the Ulafala. And he says that his goal is to not only beat Cody, Randy, and KO at Money in the Bank, but to also take that championship from Cody Rhodes and bring it back to the Bloodline. And the one thing that stood out from what he said, if Roman Reigns has a problem with that, then Roman Reigns can come back and try to take it from Solo. So this, you know, this is building up, man. I'm getting excited, you know, for SummerSlam. I don't know what's going to happen, but, you know, the buildup is crazy.
For sure.
We're going to get right into one of the most controversial PLEs of the year. I don't know if you want to start with this argument now. Or start with it later.
Yeah, let's start it now.
Okay, so basically, you know, the IWC has been complaining. How come all the championship matches, you know, for instance, last week we had Zelina versus Liv on Raw for the Women's World Championship. And then on SmackDown, we had the Tag Team Championships on the line. Why wasn't it added to the Money in the Bank pay-per-view instead of having five matches? Me personally, like I said in a previous pod, it's not that big of a deal. You give all these people that go out, they get more time, you know, to have great matches. I also feel like the titles feel more important when they're slotted in the main event because that light is shined down on the titles. Instead of having DIY being in the middle of the show, their main event and, you know, SmackDown to make it more important. That's just my side. I don't get why everybody's complaining. I get that people want more matches on pay-per-views, but this is what I don't understand. Y'all was complaining that the pay-per-views was too long, so then when they took matches out and shortened it, now it's a problem again.
Like, see, this is my thing on that. So I understand why they're doing this with the whole, like, you know, they're trying to put less matches on these cards, which for, like, you know, a superstar standpoint, it's really good because, like you said, it showcases, it gives them more time to showcase their talent. They have to grind and work a little harder to get on that card, you know, and who knows, like, but as far as, like, with that or whatever, like, honestly, with the championships, I think the reason why they're upset is because, like, they're, like I was saying in the last podcast, they've gotten so used to, you know, like, the Vince McMahon approach of putting, making pretty much every pay-per-view or every PLE like Night of Champions, where every championship had to be on the line. Is that in the third? You know, so, and you was barely getting title matches on SmackDown, Raw, you know. Yeah. So I think it's just, they're just used to that type of stuff right now. But I'm sure in about a couple of, I'd say about a couple months to a year, it's going to blow over. You got to give them time, you know, but it's going to blow over. I have faith in the IWC. Now, IWC, do not let me down. Not let me down.
They're already getting pissed off because there was a report that WWE is potentially thinking of making women's United States Championship and a women's Intercontinental Championship. That's being debated behind the scenes right now. I saw, like, a prototype image. That jump was fire. If they make them
now
like
see,
that.
Now, if they was to add these titles, I'm sorry, but, like, the tag team and the women's champions, that would have to try to find a slot in these PLEs. Like, these tag team championship matches, these big, because now, if you add mid-card women's championships, you're going to have the big women's championships on the PLEs. at least competing. Like, the titles ain't got to be on the line. Like, they could be in, like, you know, scenarios where tag team match scenarios or six-man tag team match scenarios. But your big champions are – they're probably going to be arguing that they have to be on the PLDs at that point.
I mean, I agree with that. And then that's why I've been advocating for, like, I would hope, even though I doubt it, but I would hope that they take, like, a brand split seriously and then go back to giving each brand, like, their own PLEs. You know,
that is not a bad idea.
Yeah, and then saving the major four, you know, Royal Rumble, WrestleMania, Money in the Bank, and SummerSlam.
Survivor Series.
Yeah, saving those for, like, inner brand. Like, but everything else, they should just go back to... So that way people, like, now... all the major matches can be on that card instead of trying to fit it all in and disperse it. But,
yeah,
you know, you can't make everybody happy, Paul Levesque.
You can't.
Like
can't.
Paul Levesque. Just... Yeah.
And I think he knows that. So it's just like, it is what it is.
But, like, he's still in hot water because we're going to get into it. You know, I posted it on our social media accounts. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Alexander is a future seer, a fortune teller, a Nostradamus, whatever you want to call it. He called it right, like everything to a T. He said CM Punk was going to let Drew win that briefcase. We're going to get into the rest of that later, but let's just talk about Drew McIntyre winning that briefcase for a second. Were you shocked that he won? Were you upset that Jay didn't win? What were your thoughts?
Remember how we were talking about the pick that I want to win and the pick that is going to win. So I surprised? No. Upset? Yes. But did I understand? Yes. Because that just means I was kind of worried because I was like, I might be right. Because in my mind, I was kind of hoping that CM Punk was going to squander that opportunity for him in the Money in the Bank match. I thought he was going to come in, like, you know, while he's on top of the ladder, because, like, you know how they have that ladder shot where you just see the person going on top of the ladder. I thought they was going to just have it to where CM Punk comes from under the ring, takes the ladder, throws the ladder. He lands like, I guess, on the ladder that they had stacked up or whatever. And then that's it for him. And then that gives a chance for Chad Gable or Jey Uso to get the briefcase. But he really let him get that briefcase because he really wanted to rub that in.
That he did. In the next match, again, this was another controversial decision. Sami Zayn retained his Intercontinental Championship match versus Bron Breakker.
Clean. Wow.
This was a shocker. Yeah, clean. You know, no interference. You know, no bending of the rules. Haluva kick. 1, 2, 3. Sami Zayn retained. This was definitely a shocker for me. Yeah.
One.
It's crazy. Like, I really, if I had to bet money on who was going to win, I would have chose Bron Breakker and I would have.
Oh, I lost. Yeah. Hell yeah.
Like, that's how much I was sold, you know, on that idea. But after this, you know, one positive thing we did get, in the words of Triple H, WWE is on fire right now. And we saw a collab that I didn't think we was ever going to see. We saw Metro Boomin and Cody Rhodes at a stakeout, you know, outside of the State Farm Arena in Atlanta. And it was announced that WWE, for the first time in years, is bringing back Bad Blood, which was a great pay-per-view back in the Ruthless Aggression days. And that's going to be, you know, coming this fall. So, you know, how do you feel about, you know, that Metro Towns Cody and then also you bringing back, you know, old pay-per-views?
Oh, I'm hyped. Because you got NXT, they got No Mercy, and now they're bringing back Bad Blood? Yeah. And it's going to be in Atlanta, Georgia. So, I mean, that's not too far from Louisiana. So, I mean, some of the Wildcats, some of the
Wildcats from Florida,
making a trip out there, but hey, I might have to, you know, make a trip out there or something to go check that out. They already talking about we want to go see that PLE. I mean, hey, y'all want to do it? Hey, we can get the coins together, drive all the way out there.
Hey, you just sparked the idea. I'm trying to see which it's in October. I probably won't.
Yeah.
Be able to go. Yeah, I was going to a wedding, you know, near the Atlanta area in September. So it was close enough.
That would have been perfect. You could have snuck out, went to Bad Blood, you know what I mean? And then you could have been back like ain't nothing happened.
Right. But from some good news to some quite sad news, ladies and gentlemen, John Cena was on the scene, you know, Money in the Bank. And if you haven't seen already, he came out to announce that he's going to retire. But it's not, you know, immediately. He's going on one last run, ladies and gentlemen. A farewell tour. Royal Rumble 2025 is going to be his last Royal Rumble. Elimination Chamber 2025 is going to be his last Elimination Chamber. WrestleMania 41 is going to be the last WrestleMania that John Cena, one of the greatest to ever do it, will be participating in. Xander, I know how big of a John Cena fan you are. What are your thoughts on, you know, John Cena's career potentially, you know, coming to an end?
Like, I knew that this day was going to come eventually. But when he came out, bro, and I seen that, I literally seen the shirt last time. I'm like, wait, so what's going to happen? Announces his retirement. When I tell you, I was watching some people's reaction videos. You have grown men crying, yo, tearing up because he's retiring. That just lets you know right there the type of, like, you know, like, fans he has, the connection he has with the fans. That just lets you know everything about that man. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, that's a lot of people's childhoods. Hell, that's our childhood. You know what I mean? Like, I remember being, like, in middle school and stuff, and we was devastated at the fact when John Cena got fired from when he had to do that referee match. He was special guest referee, and he got fired, bro. We was devastated, bro. We were like, they really got fired, bro? Like, we ain't know. We ain't know about that type of stuff. You know what I mean? That's crazy. Like,
John Cena versus the Nexus, stuff like that. Everything.
Yes. I still think, I'm sorry, John Cena, I love you, but I still think the Nexus should have won that feud, bro. I still think that.
Definitely. That would have, like, bolstered 8 careers, potentially.
And then on top of that, what I also heard was, when he retires, not only is he retiring John Cena, but he's retiring the jorts. He's retiring the jorts. Yeah. He's retiring the baseball cap, the hat, the shirt. So any appearance after his retirement is going to be suit and tie. I ain't ready for it.
Maybe we'll get, you know what I'm hoping for. I know you don't want to see it. I want to see a Hollywood Hogan type run, you know. But
I'm not mad at it, though. I wouldn't trip. But I just know, like, realistically, it's too far gone, bro. Now a run I would like to see, a person that I would like to see on that kind of run, and, I mean, it might not be, like, a believable person, but with the right people behind him, it can work. Rey Mysterio. He's never been a heel in WWE.
I thought you were going to go with Cody Rhodes, but...
Him too? Look, we're going to discuss it a little later. Let's just say that. We're going to discuss it a little later. Cody Rhodes, that's a good pick, though.
In honor of the upcoming John Cena farewell tour, we got a special edition of Top 5, and this edition of Top 5 is going to be 5 opponents that you want to see John Cena take on in his farewell tour. I don't know if you want to kick it off or you want me to start.
I'll kick it off.
All right.
Top 5, no debating. Top 5.
All right. So for number 5, Bron Breakker. That would be a really good match. Just off the bat, that's like the next age Brock Lesnar. That's the person that they're trying to build up during the Netflix era. They're trying to push him, like, to the moon. So what better way to get him to that point by facing the franchise player John Cena?
Yeah, that's definitely going to have to be at the end of the tour.
Yeah, definitely. Number 4, I'm going to have to go with Jey Uso.
Jey
Uso. Johnson and Jey Uso wrestle down the line. I don't think
Maybe
it's
this is
like
another rap
realistic,
battle.
but it can happen. Hey, it can happen. I'm not, because like you said, with the Hollywood thing, you never know. It can happen. You know,
Yeah.
so that would be a decent match. All right, now time for my top three. So for number three, gotta have Drew McIntyre. Drew McIntyre against John Cena. Yeah. That
You
would be
could.
a that will get very personal. Like Drew McIntyre as of late has gotten he's been getting real personal on the mic. And we was talking about it in our promo class yesterday about how now he's getting better with promos because they've taken the script off him, like essentially. He let him say whatever he wants to say. So now he's more believable in his promos. So yeah, give me Drew McIntyre at number three. Now, these next two are gonna be super obvious, but I gotta see them. Number two, give me CM Punk. He kind of planted the seed on Raw with his segment. He was like he's prepared to lace the boots with him one more time. Give me that match. I don't care what it's if you wanna put If you want to give CM Punk the heavyweight title at the time, put the world title on the line, hey, I don't care. Do that. You know what I mean? But singles match, world heavyweight title match, hey, it don't matter. I'll take it. And then number, this match has to happen at WrestleMania. Randy Orton. John Cena versus Randy Orton at WrestleMania. One-on-one. Like
Has to be
this
going.
has the potential to be like a big time match. This is something, right? Okay, so this is something that doesn't have to be a what if. Because this can kind of go in the same link that Triple H and The Rock was gonna go. Because they were planting the seeds back in like 2014, 2015, that they were gonna go one more time at WrestleMania, but it never happened because Triple H, corporate stuff, The Rock, Hollywood, so. But Randy Orton, John Cena, two of the biggest superstars in our generation. Oh, yeah, give me that match. I don't care how old they are. I'll still watch it.
Definitely. I definitely want to see that. And for my number five, since you already used that, because that was going to be my number one, but I'm going to put Randy Orton in my number five. Definitely got to see that one last time. Two of the best, to come out of the OVW system, two of the best of the Ruthless Aggression, two of the best of all time. Had parallel like careers. So just to see that, it'll be great. My number four, Logan Paul. I feel like that'll be great for Logan Paul. It'll be great for WWE, from like bringing in people worldwide. I definitely feel like that one would be the one. My number three, they already kind of hinted at this, and I think this would be good for the person that I'm about to say in his future, but Grayson Waller. I could see that, hopefully it'll be better than John Cena versus Austin Theory feud, but I could see, Cena versus Grayson Waller. Number two, give me LA Knight. I feel like maybe if LA Knight has to drop that US title, if he wins it, we still don't know if he's gonna win it. Maybe we can get a Cena US title run, have some open challenges again.
Open
And I feel
challenge.
like,
Fill up them dates.
I'm not a booker, as we say on this show, but I could see it. And my number one, I gotta see it. We're gonna take, the OG John Cena versus this new era's John Cena and Cody Rhodes. Now that Cody Rhodes versus John Cena SummerSlam 2025, I feel like, and wait, is it next year or is it 2026 when they're doing two night SummerSlams? I can't remember. But
I think it's
having that
2026.
headline, SummerSlam though, that'll be a good one. And I know you said we were going to get to it later, but I was going to say that would be a perfect time for one of the two to turn heel.
All right,
Most
now
likely
since
would
you
be
didn't
Cody.
say it, since you didn't say him, I gotta have a honorable mention for who I would want to see John Cena face. This is my honorable mention. Gunther.
I
I
thought
ain't even
about
gotta
it.
explain it. I ain't even got to explain.
No, you don't.
That's my honorable mention.
I'd just be scared because he going to, like, Gunther for real, bro. He's John Cena bad. But
okay.
I had to pick an honorable mention.
He can take it.
Man, almost 50, bro, if not already.
That's, he could take it, bro.
That man Gunther be shortening careers, bro, every time you step in the ring with him. But if I had to pick an honorable mention, Carmelo Hayes. That'd be nice.
Yeah. But, Open Challenge, U.S. Open Challenge. Fill up them dates, but hey, I'm not a booker.
Yes, sir.
Telling you, bro, we might have to get some pod merch or something, put I'm not a booker on it or something, right? Telling you.
Once we get up there, it's going to be on the way, bro. It's going to be on the way for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
But we're going to go back to Money in the Bank. Probably the most controversial match of the night. It was Damian Priest, El Campeon, defending his World Heavyweight Championship versus Seth Rollins. And initially, this was a dope match. Potentially match of the night, you know. But it got ruined by, you know, a simple mishap. You know, Seth Rollins hit Damian Priest with the Falcon Arrow. The ref went to count 1, 2, and there clearly was room for the ref to count 3, but he never did. Damian Priest never lifted a shoulder. Drew McIntyre's entrance music was late, and this kind of, you know, made one of the biggest botches of, you know, 2024. Now, it's not exploding death wire match AEW type bad, but it was pretty bad. However, you know, Drew McIntyre came out to the ring, cashes in his briefcase. Seth Rollins is out. Damian Priest struggling to get up. And who comes out? CM Punk beats the hell out of Drew McIntyre, costs him that Money in the Bank contract, hits him in the face with that championship. Damian Priest retains, and he walks out of Money in the Bank still your World Heavyweight Champion. Moving on, my favorite match. I know. Should have just listened to the pod. You would have knew it was coming. My favorite match of the night, the Women's Money in the Bank ladder match. This match was crazy from start to finish. Those women put their bodies on the line. This was probably, hands down, in recent memory, the best Women's Money in the Bank ladder match I've ever seen. You know.
That's a bold statement.
I don't recall a Women's Money in the Bank ladder match being better than this one. I don't recall. I could have recency bias, but, you know, either way, shout out to Chelsea Green. She had a fear of heights, but then ended up getting dumped off a ladder through two tables. And
you know what?
Capitalized off that.
Wait, it all makes sense now. Because you know how they were showing, you know, Chelsea Green and them little vignettes and stuff, like trying to, like, she went with, what's the face, with Kathy Kelly to go do that thing on the tower before Money in the Bank, the little vignette that they showed. And you were saying how she's scared of height. It makes sense why they did that spot, bro. It makes sense now. It makes sense. That's crazy. They planned that, bro. It's crazy.
They definitely did. Shout out to Chelsea Green. She's been doing great.
That was a nasty bump. But they said she, like, she took it and was like, she felt fine right after. It looked painful, though. But yes,
as I always say, I wish it was me, you know.
Going through a tape?
Yeah. Either going through a table or going through, like, when WWE used to have the big stages, getting put through the stage. Yeah, bro.
Look, if I'm ever blessed to go through a table, I'm going to tell you how I feel. All right? I'm going to let you know how I feel firsthand.
Hey, it don't matter.
I'll let you know how I feel. Know,
for WWE, I'll do it. So if they ever need, I'm going to be at the show next month in Fort Lauderdale. If they need somebody to jump out the crowd and perform a spot, I ain't no trained professional, but.
Hey, know, look. Just. Y'all heard him.
Machine Gun Kelly.
Book him for security. Book him for security.
They be beating security to death, bro. I don't know if I could do it. Like,
yeah, but one of them is future world champ, so they'd be all right.
Yeah. But Tiffany Stratton got the briefcase. She is now Mrs. Money in the Bank. This feeds into my theory that, you know, she could potentially be working Nia Jax, but we'll see in the future. After this, she was met backstage by the host of Money in the Bank, Toronto's own Trish Stratus. So you got Stratus Faction versus Tiffy Time. It's clearly, you know, WWE's trying to build her up as this age's Trish Stratus. So we might be getting that matchup down the line. And the main event, the Bloodline, Solo Sikoa, Jacob Fatu, Tama Tonga, accompanied to the ring by Tonga Loa, beats Cody Rhodes, Randy Orton, and Kevin Owens. And they didn't just beat the Bloodline. Solo Sikoa pinned the WWE champion, Cody Rhodes. 1, 2, 3. It's never a Bloodline match without the referee getting knocked out, by the way. So a lot happened in between that. But yeah, man, that was Money in the Bank. The Bloodline reigns supreme. Solo got that big W. I just want to say, as a side note, the pay-per-view wasn't that bad, you know, as people making it seem. And I don't get the whole notion of how come, you know, Cody got pinned. He's the world champion. Now he's been pinned by The Rock, you know, and all these people. It's not like he was pinned by Tama Tonga. Like, obviously, this is setting up for Cody versus Solo at SummerSlam. So everybody just chill out. Let the bookers.
Honestly, this is the thing, though. This is not the first time. Hell, this happened last year where the Undisputed Universal Champ gets pinned
at Money in the
Bank. The match at Money in the Bank. Mm-hmm. So, like you said, just chill. Just chill. We all know Cody ain't losing the Solo, bro. It's not going to happen.
He's not. Bro. No way.
So, y'all need to chill, bro. All they doing is they just trying to build Solo up as a legit powerhouse, which he slowly is becoming that, because I'm starting to take him more serious now. But I ain't gonna lie, not after that video that you sent me of him doing them dang on TikToks, bro. You gonna have to put that in the edit somewhere.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to put that somewhere to show everybody the tribal chief. But
hey, y'all chose him. That's y'all tribal chief right there.
But before we move on to Monday Night Raw, another thing that stood out to me in that main event, Solo and the Bloodline only won because Jacob Fatu went on a rampage. So I could see, you know, WWE building off of that whole theory that, you know, they don't want Jacob to overshadow Solo. I think they're playing off of that. And, you know, that might be a WrestleMania next year, Solo versus Jacob. But yeah, that was Money in the Bank, ladies and gentlemen. Very controversial. Fine PLE. I would say go back and watch it. But Monday Night Raw started off with CM Punk explaining that Drew McIntyre's actions have consequences, and CM Punk is those consequences. And that's why he did what he did. He then called out Adam Pearce because he wanted Drew's suspension lifted and he wanted a match with Drew McIntyre. So it seems like CM Punk is cleared, which is great news. But then CM Punk was interrupted by Seth freaking Rollins. You know, they were singing his song. CM Punk was making jokes on commentary with Pat McAfee. But Seth Rollins said that CM Punk is selfish and he wanted an apology. CM Punk did apologize, but right after that, basically took it all back and said that he's happy that, if anything, it happened to somebody like Seth Rollins. So Seth basically warned CM Punk that his actions have consequences. So it looks like, you know, we're still building up that feud for the future, if not a triple threat at SummerSlam, which I don't want. I want Drew versus Punk first, personally. But yeah, that was the start to Monday Night Raw. Then we got a match between Jey Uso and Chad Gable. Match was a fine match, but towards the end, the lights hit, the fireflies came out, the smoke was in the arena. Jey Uso spirit Chad Gable got the 1-2-3. And then, you know, Chad is still being hunted by the Wyatt Six, in which Sister Abigail appeared again, gave the commentary team a VHS tape, which we'll get into later. After this, Sami Zayn addressed the crowd, you know, about his victory at Money in the Bank, saying that everybody thought Bron Breakker was going to win, but he didn't, which led out Bron Breakker, came out to the ring, didn't say anything, just speared the hell out of Sami Zayn. Security came out, backed him away. He ran around the ring, speared Sami Zayn again. And then Ilya Dragunov confronted him, and we'll get to that match later. What are your thoughts on
Jade inspired spears? Well, hey, apart from that Cora Jade inspired spear by Bron Breakker and Jey Uso just clearing it out once he seen the Wyatt Six hit the good old fashioned.
Yeah.
Hey, I ain't gonna lie, it was a good show. It was a good little show coming back from Money in the Bank.
Yeah, that was the first half. Then we saw Adam Pearce backstage said he's bringing back. He told CM Punk that he's bringing back Drew McIntyre next week, lifting that suspension. But he does not want CM Punk in attendance. So that's going to be interesting next Monday on Raw. After that, we saw Liv trying to get Dom to discuss strategy for their upcoming intergender tag team match with Rey Mysterio and Zelina Vega, which got very spicy very quickly. I don't even know how to say this because it seems like, you know, WWE is gearing up for Netflix, but Liv Morgan was stretching out Dominic Mysterio. This then, you know, yeah, he was, you know, she was getting all up in there. And then, like, Damian Priest and the Judgment Day walked in. And, you know, Damian Priest was just asking Dom, you know, it's very simple or it's not that hard to get rid of Liv Morgan. And the highlight of the night for me was when Carlito said, well, he looks pretty hard to me. And that was that segment. I also forgot to mention that earlier in the night, Damian Priest said that once he's finished with Gunther, he's going to give Seth Rollins a title shot. Seth Rollins won't be getting that title shot from Damian Priest because I think Gunther's going to win at SummerSlam. And then Damian Priest also received a phone call, which we'll get to later. After this, we finally found out what the tape was with the Wyatt Six. Bo Dallas / Uncle Howdy was explaining his purpose, actually unveiled all the members of the Wyatt Six and said that he loves his family. These people were forgotten and he took them in. And, you know, that's what's important to him. If you didn't know before, it is now confirmed that Joe Gacy, Dexter Lumis, Eric Rowan, and Nikki Cross are all in the Wyatt Six. After this, Chad Gable was panicking, talking to Adam Pearce, says if Pearce doesn't fix this issue, Chad Gable's going to fix this issue himself. And then Adam Pearce went back into his office and who was sitting there waiting? Bo Dallas. So that's something to look forward to in the future. Then we got Bron Breakker versus Ilya Dragunov. For some reason, all of Bron Breakker's matches on Raw end up in disqualification, in which this one did as he launched the chair in Ilya Dragunov's face. Then Sami came out to make the save, but then Sami got taken out by Bron Breakker as Bron stood tall over Sami and Ilya. Your thoughts on these events thus?
I'm not gonna lie. I am looking forward to the Bo Dallas being back. I kind of see this whole little two personalities thing taking place,
mm-hmm.
where we're gonna get just regular old Bo Dallas, and then we're gonna get Uncle Howdy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And who knows? It might. I don't think it'll be the same for everybody else in the Wyatt Six, but I think just for him specifically, I think it's gonna be like he's gonna have two personalities. But yeah, I'm looking forward to that whole Bo Dallas thing. But man, Dominic Mysterio, all I'm gonna say is insert that Dolph Ziggler meme right there. You know, that's all I'm gonna say. Nothing more, nothing less. If you know, you know. That's all I'm saying.
After this, we had Damage Control defeating Lyra Valkyria, Kaden Carter, Katana Chance. But the main thing out of that was they were then attacked by Sonya Deville, Zoe Stark, and Shayna Baszler, which, you know, is looking like it's going to be a new faction. This faction does not have a name, by the way, but I've seen some interesting names, you know, on the internet. I'm still on. But after this.
Oh, shoot. Sorry.
After this. They, the newly formed trio was talking backstage to Jackie Redmond about their intentions and what they're doing it for. But the thing that stood out to me in that was, if you were looking very closely, there was Chad Gable talking to Brutus and Julius Creed and Ivy Nile in the background. So, you know, that team Gable is starting to build up, you know, Chad trying to get some reinforcements for the Wyatt Six. So that might be, you know, the first view for them. After this was the main event. Dominic Mysterio, Liv Morgan versus Zelina Vega and Rey Mysterio, in which Dom and Liv won. This match was kind of crazy. You know, there was one spot where Dom's face landed between Liv's legs and she was over the moon. And after this, they won. They got highly emotional, celebrating. Dom hugged Liv. She pulled him to the mat. He's on top of her, straight missionary style. And then that music hit. Rhea Ripley returned. Mommy is back. And Liv Morgan ran for her life as Dominic stood in the ring like somebody who's just been caught cheating. With the look on his face, in which Rhea was definitely disappointed. And that was Monday Night Raw, ladies and gentlemen. Your thoughts on Rhea Ripley being back?
I am looking forward to this, because that match is a guarantee of SummerSlam. That match is going to happen. Like, I've already said it on previous pods, and now it's coming to play. So Rhea Ripley, she gonna, I can't necessarily say she gonna get hers back, but it's gonna be a hell of a match. So,
it definitely is. You know, I don't know if we gonna get the custody of Dominic Mysterio on the line, but I'm curious to see where his allegiance lies, where the rest of the Judgment Day allegiance lies, because Priest kept that secret to himself.
I got some theories about that. About this whole Judgment Day thing. You know how I've been with the fortune telling. I've been on fire.
You wanted to save him for later, or you want to tell him right now?
I'll save him for later. Cause don't we got another segment we got to cover?
Yes, sir. We just got a little bit more highlights, and we're gonna get right to that. But NXT Heatwave took off this past weekend. Personally, this NXT PLE was fire. Dare I say, like, as far as match quality, yes, as far as match quality, a little bit better than Money in the Bank, in my personal opinion, honestly.
It's a personal fact. I'm agreeing with you.
They definitely went crazy. It's just something about NXT in Toronto that mixed well. Obafemi retained versus Wesley. Wesley can no longer challenge for the NXT North American Championship. So whatever is next for him, you know, we'll see. Kalani Jordan retain against Sol Ruka. Hell of a match. Hell of a match. Axiom and Nathan Frazier retain against Chase University. Roxanne Perez retain her title against Lola Vice, which, man, Lola Vice was selling the hell out of that Pop Rocks. In the main event, the Fatal 4-Way match for the NXT Championship, Ethan Page is now your new NXT champion. It was funny the way he won it, because it wasn't on purpose. He got hit with the trick shot, landed back on the fallen Javon Evans. Sean Spears pulled, you know, trick out the ring. And Ethan, you know, when he came to, he was the NXT champion. And then after this, we saw somebody must have said his name, because we saw a graphic appear for Joe Hendry to close out the show, and that was NXT Heatwave. It's interesting to me, you know, that none of the titles really changed hands except for the NXT Championship, which I was expecting that title to change hands the least. It's very interesting that, you know, a couple of days before this happened, Ethan Page basically was doing an interview. He had some comments about his old company, AEW, saying that it was unorganized and chaotic, as where WWE, their structure, and like everybody knows their role and what they're doing. And now he's your NXT champion. What were your thoughts on NXT Heatwave as a whole?
Oof. All I'm going to say is that man, Ethan Page, if you don't know who he is, do your homework.
Yes, sir.
I ain't going to lie. He, honestly, with this run and him being NXT this quick, NXT champion this quick, he's in the runs for breakout star of the year. I mean, can't argue with it. This is probably the quickest somebody has won an NXT championship since Kevin Owens. You know what I mean? Yeah. So, I mean, hey, it just goes to show you they got some plans for him. So, he definitely going to be a big name years and years to come. He's going to be a big name for sure. But as far as the pay-per-view POV goes, yeah. But one thing that was interesting to me, though, was at the end of that match, though. Sean Spears looking like he helping, you know, exactly. Ethan Page to win the championship. Like, he helped him a little bit because the way he pulled him out.
Yeah.
It's like he kind of – so it's like – so they might be planting a tag team with them too, you know what I mean? So, or a little alliance. Maybe it might form a faction or something. Who knows?
They're both, you know, fellow countrymen. So, but I'm going to get into some more highlights of the week from other wrestling shows, you know, sticking with NXT. Brooks Jensen, after being reinstated back on the roster, attacked Javon Evans, who were supposed to tag with Trick Williams against Ethan Page and Sean Spears in the main event, but I'll get to that. Wesley came out to address the NXT universe on his future plans, since that he cannot, you know, challenge for the NXT North American Championship. But he was then interrupted by, you know, Nash Carter, Trey Miguel, and TNA, they're known as the Rascals. And NXT, they were known as MSK. So it seems like, you know, that trio is getting back together, which I'm very excited for. I'm happy about this whole NXT TNA thing. The cross the line thing is dope. Sticking with that theme, Trick Williams, his tag team partner Javon Evans was taken out, but he must have said his name, because out came Joe Hendry, teaming with Trick Williams. They defeated Ethan Page and Sean Spears. And that was NXT. What were your thoughts on, you know, NXT?
Yeah, I didn't watch NXT live because I had training. But from what I've seen, Joe Hendry, he's next up for sure. Like, I've even seen, you know, I may be wrong. I may be 100% wrong. Like I said, I'm not a booker. I don't know too much about what's going on backstage. But they must be so high. I mean, they might even try to buy him out of this TNA contract. You know what I mean? So, who knows? They might want to have him strictly be there at NXT. Because he's an NXT main roster caliber talent. Like, that dude there, I could see people singing that Joe Henry song at WrestleMania. You know what I mean? Like, that's over. That's over like crazy right now. Like, they got to capitalize on that. He is over like crazy right now.
WWE has their eyes on a lot of people, you know, just to throw some names out there. Joe Hendry, Jordan Grace contract is coming up. Daniel Garcia's contract's coming up. Stephanie Vancouver contract's coming up.
They're
highly interested. Oh, she did? She signed with WWE already?
Yep.
Oh, because I saw a report that it was going to be within the next coming days. There you go.
Yeah, because she was stuck between AEW and WWE, so she chose... Hey, she chose the dirty UE, so hey.
And they still got Julia, you know, yet to make her debut. So NXT and WWE about to be on fire. But speaking of AEW, we got, you know, some highlights from them. MJF asked Daniel Garcia to be in his corner for his main event match for the AEW International Championship against Will Ospreay. Bryan Danielson defeated Pac and to go on to the finals in the Owen Hart tournament. Willow Nightingale defeated Chris Statlander to go on to the finals in the Owen Hart tournament on the women's side of the bracket. Mercedes Moné had a showdown with the returning Britt Baker, which Britt Baker challenged her for a matchup at All In. And, you know,
in added with some STFU chants.
Mm-hmm.
She got some STFU chants in there.
Yeah, that was I like that, you know, rivalry. Hopefully they don't, you know, hopefully they don't mess it up. Chris Jericho hit Hook with a fireball. Hangman Adam Page beat Jeff Jarrett to advance to the finals of the Owen Hart tournament. So he's going to take on Bryan Danielson. He was then approached by the Elite to be their fifth member in Blood and Guts, but he declined and said that he's nobody's puppet. And in that main event, Will Ospreay retained after Daniel Garcia refused to use MJF's Dynamite Diamond Ring. And then Will Ospreay hit the Hidden Blade and retain his championship. And then it was what happened after the match that had everybody talking. MJF is officially the bad guy again. He kicked Daniel Garcia. Yeah. He kicked Daniel Garcia, you know, in the gentleman area, beat him to a bloody pulp. And we're setting up for that Will Ospreay versus MJF feud, looking like it's going to happen at All In. I'm excited for that. And that was AEW.
So he's not our scumbag no more. He's the scumbag. That's crazy. Yep. I mean, MJF comes back, and now he's heel. AEW just became watchable again. No offense. Mm-hmm.
And now you got a good babyface in Ospreay. But that was AEW. Also, some TNA highlights. NXT's Charlie Dempsey interfered in a match between Slater and Trey Miguel, attacked everybody, even the referees. So, you know, they're going even further with this whole NXT TNA thing.
Kazarian advanced.
Right. Kazarian advanced to the championship match at Slammiversary, beating Santana, who, you know, who got screwed by JDC, Johnny Dango Curtis. And then Joe Hendry in the main event advanced to Slammiversary as well, beating Jake something. And he said that he's on a run to become the face of TNA. And that was, you know, another week in wrestling. Your thoughts on TNA?
They honestly, with this whole merger, they're just getting better and better. But I do have to tap in, though. I've been slacking on it a little bit. I do got to watch TNA.
It's okay. It's a lot of wrestling, bro.
It is a lot to digest, and I think I have training on that day too, so that's why it's hard to like digest all this stuff. It's so much. That's why I say it's good that NXT and TNA are having this little merger thing going on. So that's perfect.
Mm-hmm. Hey, but we're gonna get into a very new segment here on the pod. We've been talking about doing this for, you know, some weeks, and it's finally here, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the writer's room.
Brother, you gotta take that fantasy bookie shit somewhere.
All right. So in the writer's room, both of us, we're going to spin a wheel. We got some names. I'm going to share my screen here so we can see the names. And whoever it lands on, we're going to fantasy book. Would you like me to spin the wheel for you first, sir?
Yeah.
You got Team Gameful.
Mm.
So I'm going to spin the wheel for me. Let's see who we got, who we got, who we got. I got Joe Hendry.
Okay.
So, did you want to go first, or would you like me to?
You can go first. Because I got to think of this one. Cain and Gable.
So, for me, what I would like to see, obviously, I'm going to take Joe Hendry and put him into the NXT, you know, roster and have him, one, come in feud with Sean Spears. He's going to be that gate to the NXT Championship. Him and Sean Spears going to have a three-month feud, a bloodbath. He's going to end up making songs about Sean Spears. And then he's going to beat him in a no disqualification match. And then he's going to get to NXT champion Ethan Page. That's going to be, you know, good. You got All Ego versus somebody who believes. And I think Joe Hendry should beat Ethan Page. Now, after he does this and wins the NXT championship, I would like him to go back to TNA and put his title on the line against then TNA champion Kazarian, who I'm going to predict, you know, will be TNA champion at the time. And then those two are going to have a feud. And then Joe Hendry's going to be leading Team NXT. Kazarian, being the TNA OG, is going to be leading Team TNA. NXT is going to have like their whole Survivor Series type pay-per-view. They might just call it Invasion since they're bringing back the old pay-per-views. This is going to lead Team NXT to winning because it's going to be an NXT PLE, so ain't no way they're going to lose. Then we're going to have the unification match, but unfortunately, it's going to be interfered by Ethan Page and Sean Spears. And then we go back to Ethan Page and Joe Hendry, and then they have the feud of the summer, and Joe Hendry drops that title back to Ethan Page. And that is my fantasy booking. How you feeling like that? If you had to give it a grade, drop your grade in the comments. But if Sander had to give it a grade, what he grading at?
I'll give it a B.
I want honesty.
I'll give it a B. Yeah, I'll give it a B. All right. So, Team Gable. All right, so you know how they already have, you know, them checking up on him every once in a while backstage and kind of like planting the seed there with them forming a team. So I could see kind of like, you know, the original Alpha Academy, you know, Otis and Akira Tozawa, Maxine being in the ring with them or something like that. I guess he finally calls them up to the ring. Tries to start something and be like, okay, we need to finally get this under control. What do I got to do, you know, for y'all to, you know, to forgive me? And then they pretty much don't, they keep saying they don't want nothing to do with him. They don't want nothing to do with him. And then I guess this can lead to, you know, Chad Gable being like, you know what, screw this. He snaps, he attacks Akira Tozawa. Then Otis comes in, jumps in on him. They're attacking him. They got him in the corner. They're about to set up for some move or something. I guess Otis about to set up for his little finisher. And what do you know? Here comes Team Gable. They take out Kira Tozawa, Otis, and Maxine Dupree. That's where Ivy Nile's going to come in. Probably give her a German suplex or something. And then from there, you got a little feud. You can start a little feud with them. You know, start a little feud with them or whatever for a couple of them. Probably about a good month or two. And then this leads back into the whole situation with the Wyatt Six. Now, with the Wyatt, you can have it to where they come in and, you know, well, they'll pretty much come in and, you know, pretty much terrorize them and stuff like that, like make threats, make little threats and stuff, scare them and stuff like that. But for the most part, since Chad Gable got this new team, his confidence is all up. He ain't really scared like that. So they get to a pay-per-view. This happens for a couple of months. They finally, well, not a couple months, but a couple of weeks, start wrestling. They get a match. And after that match, you got, they get a six-man. I guess Team Gable would be taking a loss there. But see, this is where it doesn't end here, though. Because after they take that loss, they can possibly bounce with that, you know, get to a tournament for a championship. I don't know how we jumped from there to a championship, but they're going to find a way to get there. You know what I mean? So They get into a tournament or whatever. Then you got the Creed brothers somehow, months later, winning the championship, tag team championships. Shaq Gable finally getting that IC title. I don't know where y'all going to put it at.
That's
what I don't know what y'all going to do to fill in that time, but that's where that's what I was saying. Like, I don't really know much about that whole thing like that because I didn't really see it on the play, but that's all I got for them. But I know it's all over the place, but hey, it's something.
Hey, I ain't going to lie. As long as you ended up with Chad winning that IC title.
Chad's finishing that story.
Yeah, I low-key wish I would have got Team Gable because, like, I mean, I would have said some of the same stuff you did, but, you know, if I had to
got Joe Hendry.
Well, next time we can make a trade. But, you know, I give it a B because you said a lot that I would have said. The only thing I would have did different, I would have said that the Wyatt Six would have pivoted to Jay so that way it'll open up that feud for Chad to feud with the OG Alpha Academy. And then what I would have sprinkled in, though, I would have sprinkled in, like, you know, that, like, say WWE is like in Pennsylvania or something, and then they having Kurt Angle as a guest for the night. Kurt Angle in the ring, Chad Gable come out, they beat the hell out of Kurt Angle, and Chad Gable says he's your new Olympic hero to give them even more heat.
Oh my God.
Yeah, but hey, WWE, if you need, you know, some writers, I know CM Punk not a fan of us fantasy bookers, but, you know, let us know. Ladies and gentlemen,
I ain't no booker.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been the first installment of the Writers Room. But yes, sir, Xander, before we head on out of here, anything you want to say to the lovely people?
Like to say, wishing my boy Ramadan a happy birthday, you know what I mean? Go ahead and turn up, you know, chill out, you know, just do what you do, you feel me? And then for me, you know, just follow me on all my socials. I'm pretty sure you know. If y'all don't know him, it's at @SirTony_. That is at @SirToney _. That's for my Instagram. So my Twitter is @SirTony. So it's that same thing with no underscore. And that message is courtesy of Mr. All-in-One from the 631, Alan Xander.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for watching another episode. We just ask that you like, share, comment, subscribe if you're watching on YouTube. Follow us on all your podcast platforms. And with that, we out.
Trip forever and I'm just not getting started. That's the one. Yeah.